You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
And we're joined by...
Tim from Zim.
Tim from Zim. I like it. Hi, Tim from Zim.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad to be here with you guys talking about such an amazing topic today.
Yeah. Tim from Zim.
Yeah.
It's got a ring to it, right?
It does indeed. So today, we're talking about the monster that is social media. And
not the cookie monster.
No, that one we can set aside. You can put your cookies aside today. Talking about this monster that we've actually created called social media and how it affects us as Christians because of, I mean, the very nature of it is that people are on there because they want attention. Yes, there are people who are on there to stalk others. I won't ignore those people. I might be one of those people. We just lurk silently with a profile that has almost nothing, but you're just there watching other people.
Okay.
But let's say majority of people are there because they want people to see them. You don't post so that nobody sees it. You don't write a status so that nobody sees it. The whole point is that other people see your thoughts, your life, what you're doing, whether you're posting Bible verses or pictures of your baby. The whole point is for other people to see it. And why do we do that? So people say it's for validation. So that's what we're discussing today. That Christians, why would we be on the socials for validation? Our value and worth comes from Christ. So why do we need it from other people? So Tim is going to help us dig into that topic today. And he's looking at me like, I didn't know it was going to be that deep.
No, I didn't think that it would get to the point of like trying to classify such a culturally toxic subject matter, because it is.
Yeah.
Validation is a very difficult thing, because the first question I would have to throw, and I'll throw it at Cookie Monster, is how do you validate yourself as an individual?
Yeah.
You know, because it could be different for different people from different parts of the world.
Yeah.
So let's take the Zim context. How would we say we validate ourselves in the Zim context?
I thought I was the one asking the questions.
I'm just throwing it out there, man. I mean,
you're from Zim, man. That is how we roll.
No, okay, so great question. I mean, man, you've kind of taken me aback there, because when I think about the whole issue of validation, every single human being wants to feel worthy. They want to feel like they have value. They want to feel like they mean something, right? And I think the thing that happens, in fact, I love the way somebody described it. They said that social media is like this extension of yourself, similar to when you drive a car, right? I drove here and had to weave through traffic because I was coming from, I was kind of running late. And I did some crazy maneuvers, right?
I
won't say some of the things that I did, but the Lord has forgiven me. But but the point is, your car becomes an extension of who you are.
Right.
So if you're somebody who's rude, if you're somebody who is insensitive and whatever, rough, that's gonna come through in the way that you're driving, because that car becomes an extension of who you are. Similarly, if you're one of those drivers, if you're just, you know, somebody who's a bit slow or very cautious, that's also going to come across in the way that you drive, because in some sense the
Babe,
car
I hope you're listening to this anyway, continue.
Who?
My husband.
Yeah,
guys, he drives so slow.
I'm not gonna,
hey, that's not a bad thing.
I'm not gonna say, but he's all right, man. He's driven me before. But you're a gangster. That's the thing. So you're like the total opposite. Anyway,
moving along.
So similarly, social media becomes an extension of who you are as a person.
Okay.
Right? In some sense, because really, you're given this tool, and the tool begins to project who you are. So the things, the thoughts that you have, the feelings that you have, you almost have this power at your disposal to
right.
to share your thoughts with the world, to share your ideas with the world, but at the same time, your insecurities as well, and your prejudices, and all of these things. And so I think that's the blessing and the curse of social media.
Right, I just want to stop you there, because here's, so you've alluded to something already, that social media, we see a lot of, we see the positive things like new babies being born or getting hitched or engaged or a mega deal come through. But we hardly see the negative side of humanity with regards to I got fired from my job or I'm going through a depression. Like, you do not see that projected on social media by the individual. It's almost like there's this toxic positivity.
Yes, I heard that term recently.
Yeah.
This week. Yeah.
So there's toxic positivity that social media puts on people to portray because of comparison.
Mm.
So going back to comparison. So we look at other people's social media accounts. We see how they're doing, how they're progressing. And so we feel the need to keep up with the Joneses, which is a very old fashion term from the 1950s, where everybody was like trying to drive the same car and have the same size house and the same number
who
of kids.
Was Jones though? I've always wondered, right?
I think
the Kardashians of the 1950s.
I see.
So here's the thing, right? So what we're seeing now in our generation actually isn't a new thing. Mm-hmm. It's just been catapulted by the device of technology. Technology has made it available to everybody.
Right.
Democratized information, in the sense that we can all see how each other's doing, right?
So I think you've touched on something that's very, very important there, which is that human nature has not changed.
Mm.
Right? So our need for validation, our need to be seen, our need to be heard,
yeah.
all of that has always existed. Mm. But then now social media, like I said earlier, gives us this massive tool that we have at our disposal.
Right.
And it really begins to expose who we are and our lack of critical thinking. I was going to say something much worse or something like that. Right. And it exposes a lot of who we are and the lack thereof sometimes, right? That we just consume all of these things, but it's this tool that we have now. So, okay, T-Mac, mm-hmm. I wanna throw this question at you. As a lady, right?
Yes, I am. My pronouns are she, her. Yeah, as a
right,
lady.
not what they, them,
yeah,
or
she, her, right here.
All right, thanks. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Isn't it crazy that we actually have to? No, guys, this is mad. Like, I watched. Let me not digress.
Yeah, don't go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, let me not.
Is there anything I'm gonna cut this out? Nice good attention.
But here's the thing: is it true? Would I be accurate to say that ladies generally feel a certain type of pressure to present themselves a certain way on social media? And I don't want to turn this into a men versus women thing, but I'm just saying, from what I've seen with us guys, we do have our own pressures, but I feel like from an image, mostly from an image point of view, I just find that sometimes ladies go ham, eh? They just go all out, and I'm just like, where'd you get the time?
I also look at them like that. I do think there's an added pressure, but I think that's just comes down to how different we are made as male and female, because like how they say that men look more at the outward appearance and then women look more at a person's personality and all of that other jazz. So maybe if a woman is on there and they want more eyes on them, obviously they're going to have to put way more effort into the outward appearance,
right?
Because I mean, how else are you going to get people to look at you? Whereas a guy wouldn't feel the same pressure, because
For me, all a woman needs to do,
I mean,
code CSU.
Yeah, we'll look at a hot guy.
No, dude,
whatever.
I'm sorry. You're like the 0.1% of the male population right there. No, but what you said.
Oh, sorry, were you done? Sorry.
Yeah, we can carry on.
Okay.
No, no, but just adding on to what you were saying, it's all about what you see. Mm. That's the thing. It's not about the substance of what that person is saying or how they're living their life. It is what they are perceived.
That word. It's all about perception.
And that's
why I had your analogy with the car was, I could identify with that in that it is an extension of yourself, but it's almost as if my normal self, like if my, this analogy is going to get out of hand in a second, but let's say if my natural personality as a car is like a Honda Fit. Like if we were all cars and I was a Honda Fit,
by the way,
on social media, I'll betray myself and want to be perceived as a Ferrari.
Right.
So yeah, it's okay. Like,
I see where you're going.
You are who you are, but then on the socials, you might not even be the same person as when you then meet me in person. It's like, she's not what I thought she was like. Like, she's totally different.
Right.
So that's kind of my issue with it, because it's not authentic anymore. And sometimes even in the trying to be authentic, it's like you start oversharing.
Yeah.
Like, people now just give you an insight into their very private lives, and you're like, do you really need to put that like on the world stage for everyone to see? Like, is that really necessary? One thing I've noticed a lot of, because like you were saying before, social media just feeds you more of what you kind of have glimpsed at before, and it thinks, oh, okay, she likes that, let me give her more. I keep getting notifications or suggestions to follow couples, and they're not like celebrity couples, they're just apparently normal couples who do normal things, and I'm like, these normal things are starting to look real scripted. Like, just like, you're not that happy all the time. Like, seriously, you guys have staged this whole video to look natural. Like, you're always so happy, and he always reacts the right way, and you always get a laugh out of him, and all of this stuff.
There's a thing
and
called paid promotions.
Looking at your own life, like, why isn't my boyfriend like that? Why isn't my husband like that? And you're comparing yourself to something that you don't realize is scripted because you think it's real because it's on social media. Yeah. But it's not all real.
No,
it's someone in the Ferrari when they're actually a Honda Fit.
And that's what you're saying there. It's not all real.
Like, the Honda Fit is a great car, by the way, Tim. Let me just correct you.
Yeah, no.
Have you seen how many of those things are on the road?
Yeah, I could those say things, the same with catfishing.
Those things
river,
are,
but I wouldn't be calling
those things are unbreakable, bruh.
No. Let's not go down this rabbit hole. Another rabbit hole we're going to divert for the producers.
I used to drive one.
I know you did, and that's why I've given thanks to God that you've seen the light and that you've changed.
Okay, moving on. Moving swiftly along.
Anyway, but going back to what you were saying about the perception of reality, I think, especially with this thing with social media, 20 years ago, TV, it used to be the thing, like, you want to get your 10 minutes of fame on TV so the whole world could know who this person was. Mm. And everyone, and even now, they're still mad crazy about idols or, like,
if you just have a viral moment. And
you have, so our generation's version of that 10 minutes of fame is the viral moment, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter. Mm. Do you know what it feels like to me? And I don't mean to get very metaphysical here, but it feels like when you look up at the sky and you see stars and you see that brilliant shooting star, but it's like literally there and gone in an instant and you go, wow, but there's no substance to it. Mm. Like, and you forget about it quickly. And I think people like to think that's the kind of effect they would want to have on people around them and their life rather than being a constant.
Mm.
That actually then moves away from being visually orientated towards being a little bit more substantive, I think. You're more focused on character when you talk about that. Mm. And I think in our generation, we've forgotten what truly attractive character looks like. And
I don't think that's even a phrase anyone.
Yeah,
would
no,
be,
I know. I'm
would
starting
use
to
attractive character. What is
well,
that?
Character. I mean, like, okay, so let's take the couples thing, right? So it's kind of a norm in our generation to have this these friends that you have that the moment they end a relationship, they're straight into another one. Mm-hmm. They don't give themselves room to breathe, figure out who they are.
Yeah.
And you always feel like when you meet them, dude, are you just like a chameleon? Like, you adapt to your environment wherever you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's something to be said for being that guy or that girl that's solid, that may be single, may not be single, but their character is always the same, no matter who they're around or who they're with, whether romantically or friends and stuff like that. Stability like that. Yeah. Anyway, we are getting way off topic here.
sort of. But I think we are sort of down the alley of what we were discussing, because what you're talking about there is authenticity, right?
Mm.
And the challenge with social media and the analogy that you gave about the car is that what's at stake is our authenticity.
Mm.
And in the process, you know, we can become so used to projecting an image and saying all the right things and posting all the right pictures. Because really what we do with social media is that we have these perfectly curated...
That word is very important.
Curated. Images
it's
of ourselves.
It's not just someone just like, oh, this cool picture, you post it. It's first edited, you change the angle, you find the right caption. It's very intentional and
precisely
curated. Yeah.
And so the risk... Don't we run the risk of actually shunning reality?
Yeah.
Because you don't really like what you look like in reality.
I don't know about you, brother, but I think I'm a awesome just chucking that one out there.
No, all good, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
You're
right?
A glasses guy. I'm a non-glasses guy. You're a cap guy. I'm not a cap guy. I'm a hair guy. I like my hair.
Okay. are you just like throwing out your data sketch? Listen, bro, it's cool. And if there's anybody out there listening,
you want a picture right now?
If there's anybody out there listening, let me just throw it out there. Tim is my friend. He is single, and he. Is
thanks, brother.
Yeah, he is white. However, may I add that you've heard the popular saying that once you go black, but anyway, so he hasn't quite gone back. So,
if you could see me right now, I'm changing color slightly in the corner.
No, jokes. No, but actually, no jokes.
Terrible.
So I think the danger, Neil Postman, this is what I was thinking about. Neil Postman wrote a book back in the 80s called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And that book, I've actually read that book. I've got it. And that book is really talking about the age of television, because this is 70s, 80s is when television was really becoming popular, especially in the West. And so he writes about the dangers of television.
Mm-hmm.
The fragmentation of the family and all the what was considered junk back then that's coming via television. When you look at what the world was like back then and the issues that he wrote about, a lot of them are very similar to the issues that we're dealing with today, but at an exponentially higher scale, right?
Yeah.
So the thing for me is this, that our challenge, and back to the issue of authenticity, is that the more you get used to the reactions that come because, you know, you've posted this great picture of yourself and you're looking good and then you get 1,000 likes or whatever.
Mm.
But in real life, you don't get the same appreciation.
Mm.
In real life, people don't really turn their heads or whatever.
Yeah.
That can almost become addictive,
for sure.
Right? And then you feel like you have to keep on doing more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I've seen this happen even with Christians. Now, again, like what T-Mac said, the people who stalk, I don't stalk people. But I have had moments...
If C.S. Lewis was alive, you'd be stalking him, brother. Let's not lie to ourselves.
Of course I would. Of course I would. But, you know, I've had moments where I've had to stop and think, my brother, you're a Christian, but I'm just wondering about... The kind of stuff that you're posting or the frequency with which you post certain things, there's just something strange about that. Or my sister, hesh, some of those angles, I'm like, yo, I don't know. And I almost feel like there's this constant pressure to keep doing that.
Mm.
And I think that's where the danger begins, right? Using social media as a tool to, you know, post these nice things, community, get connected with other people, versus it becoming this, almost this, what do you call it? I guess let's call it this toxic tool that's now feeding into our...
collective psyche.
Yeah, that bad stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's this perception that life is all polished and edited and glossy.
It's just
it is. But actually, reality, life sucks. Yeah. not for everyone. I'm just putting it out there. And I'm not saying it.
I think life sucks for everyone at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the thing is, we don't acknowledge that. We don't acknowledge the ups and downs. We're very good at looking at the mountaintops of our experience, but not the valleys that you have to get through to get to those mountaintops. Right. I don't mean that in a Christianese sense. I mean that from a genuine perspective that life has very euphoric moments, whether it be the day of your marriage, birth of your child, getting your first degree, becoming a doctor, whatever it is. Those genuinely, for the individual, are amazing experiences. But then they're also really tough experiences, like a parent passing away, or a child dying, or losing your job, or having a violent crime committed against you. So there are lots of other aspects that come in there. But here's the thing, especially with social media and our generation, is we now have, for the first time in history, and every generation has had this, but ours is the first to experience it on such a massive scale, we have this collective identity crisis that has happened and has been galvanized and accelerated by social media. So what do I mean by that? So identity crisis. So social media tells us what we should look like, what we should sound like, what we should wear, what we should be doing. Now, before that, we didn't have that, except maybe in our close group of friends, or if we were at school, we would have our school friends tell us that sort of thing, and that would be influenced by the music you listened to, the movies you went to watch, the clothes you used to wear. But now, with technology, we all have the ability to see what that looks like for other people all over the world, all at once. So it's like identity crisis on steroids and supercharged. Yeah. So that can be quite, as you said, it's toxic. And going back to the biblical narrative then, so if we have this crisis of mental health caused or being accelerated by social media and by that sort of thing, what does the Bible actually talk about when it talks about identity? Ha, there we go. Throw that to T-Max. What does the Bible talk about when it talks about identity as a Christian?
Well, I could say it says that your identity, you don't even get it from your parents, you don't get it from your church, you don't get it from your social circle, you don't get it from anything external outside of Christ. And I think that's why I'm sometimes wondering, like, as Christians, okay, yes, I know we need to be this shining light, and we can't just be like, oh, let's just shun social media and stay off it because it's this evil thing. But I also just wonder, like, what are we doing there? Like, if we don't need, or we shouldn't need, this thing to tell us who we are and what we should do and how we should sound like, then what are we doing there? Like, why do we spend so much of our time on our phones scrolling down that endless Instagram feed and getting sucked in? If we know, like, remember Cookie Monster when PC was talking about idols, and it was around the discussion of our fires dimming out.
Right.
And
he
was saying that no energy dies, it just gets redirected. And I think we forget, or we don't acknowledge, how much of our energy, even if we say it's I'm posting Bible verses and I'm ministering on Instagram, I think we okay, I didn't mean to say it in that tone.
No, it's all good.
We also get sidetracked. Like, you might be that person who's posting so much on Instagram, but when someone meets you face to face, you can't even remember one Bible verse, kind of thing. Like, you have to have that balance, that energy. Yes, it can go to social media, but it should also, you should also have that quiet time. You should also have your own strong personal relationship with Christ that can stand a face to face conversation. Because even with the way COVID has been, and we've gotten used to doing things digitally and remotely, and we don't have to see people so much, you can really hide where your walk with God actually is versus where you're portraying it to be. And that's my bit of my issue with the socials. Because I'm like, guys, yes, we're being authentic. Maybe we're, as girls, Christian girls, we're not there posting our boobs or whatever. But yeah, is what we're posting and the energy we're using to post it, is it a good use of our energy versus just reading your Bible or doing something else?
No, but that's solid, though. What you're saying there is absolutely solid. And I think from a biblical perspective, like, as you said, you know, identity comes from Christ. And right in the beginning of the Old Testament, one of the very first major acts that God does for Abram was he renamed him before he made the covenant with him for Isaac, interestingly enough. So God gives you a name. I would definitely say, I don't mean that always literally, but I think as Christians, God has given you a name, and you do need to remember what that is. If you don't, then you're going to do all sorts of things. And then further down the road, you know, the children of Israel, they get miraculously saved. Okay, I'm assuming that most people listening to this believe in the Judeo-Christian worldview and take it as what they, you know, their bread and butter. So they see the 10 miracles, you know, God taking out Pharaoh and the biggest superpower at the time, Egypt. Then they send 12 spies into the promised land. 10 of them come back and say, we're grasshoppers in their eyes. What do? They looked at the communities and the nations around them and compared themselves to those nations instead of saying, but hang on a second, like, we're not even talking years ago. We're talking just now, guys. God did this. He smelt the firstborn. He brought out the plague of frogs and locusts and everything. Like, they were physical manifestations of God's power.
Yeah.
And they lost the plot.
It was like 40 years later, though.
What? When they went into the land?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is they experienced those miracles and completely lost their identity. They had a total identity meltdown in the desert. Like, we serve this God who destroyed our enemy, and now we're looking at these nations, we can't do jack. But then I bring it back to us as Christians now. How often do we do that with our own identity at a personal level, looking at the world, looking at other Christians, thinking, wow, that pastor's really successful, they've got a really solid following, and that youth leader is really getting up there, and all the girls or guys like him, or that person.
Their reach is just really...
So we compare ourselves to what other people are doing, and that's so toxic. I mean, that's old adage, but that is unbelievably toxic.
Yeah. And wow, I love the analogy that you gave there, because when we one of the scriptures that we quote often but don't really actively think about is Romans chapter 12 verse, I think it's verse 2. He says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world."
Yeah.
Right. Often we focus a lot on the second part of that verse, which says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind."
Yeah.
Which is great. But the first part says, "Do not be conformed." My question is, how many of us have become conformed to the pattern of this world? How many of us are now getting our validation from the same place that the world is looking for validation? How many of us are jumping onto bandwagons? You know, there's so many things that are thrown on social media that we have to really take a step back and ask. Things like, do you, right? There's this whole self-love movement. And it seems innocent when you look at it on the surface. But really, guys, like, honestly, when I see posts on this whole self-love thing, especially these days, something in me just goes, there's something off about that. Because, excuse me, everything is about you, do you, love you, whatever, right? And there's a lot of focus on you. And if you really look at that, there's something deeply disturbing about that. Because it's a departure from what scripture tells us. Right?
Just to die to self.
Exactly. Jesus tells us to die to ourselves, to pick up our crosses. Then the Bible says, you are not your own. But the world keeps telling us that, hey,
you're your own.
You're your own, man. Be your own man. Be your own woman. So I'm just saying, yes, of course, there is a degree to which, you know, we have to have a healthy self-esteem. We have to learn to love ourselves. All of that stuff. But I think a lot of what's coming through social media is almost this self-idolatry. And we have to be careful about that. And I'm just using that as an example to say there are many of these movements and many of these seemingly innocent things that are
that have become commonplace in social media, but are really a conformity to the pattern of this world. And Jesus tells us that, well, Jesus tells us that we're not of this world. But Paul, they're saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then the other thing I want to say is that we must always remember, and this is crazy, we must always remember that our citizenship is not of this world. Maybe that's something we've forgotten as Christians.
Yeah.
Right? And so, Charles Spurgeon who said that, he said, believer, be careful when you are loved in the same world in which your Lord was hated.
That's really good.
He says something like that. And I think it's an important thing for us to remember that when we're seeking to be loved, to be approved, to be appreciated by everyone, and our goal on social media is to find, is to get reactions and to get approval from people, I think we're standing on very thin ice, because we're already moving away from the fundamentals of the faith. This may sound like a bit of a harsh thing or a bit of a heavy thing to say, but I think, you know, part of the thing we want to do with this podcast is to be able to have these kinds of conversations and to get each other thinking about stuff like this.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a really good example, so let's take a biblical character that suffered from terrible self-esteem. He was the lowest man in the lowest tribe of the lowest part of Israel.
I thought you were going to talk about Job. I was about to start singing the song.
No.
Job.
Gideon. Everybody knows Gideon as this mighty man of valor. But many people forget where he started.
Threshing floor.
Right? And when the angel comes and says, rise, Gideon, mighty man of valor.
Threshing wheat in the wine press.
Well, I mean, I don't see that as being a bad thing. But it's the sort of thing like he had a complete identity shock. Because he's like, guy, you kind of got the right. Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
And he lists and he disqualifies himself based of what people have told him. Now, I'm not saying that Christians should go out there and start, you know, blurting out scripture and in a way that is arrogant and is...
Do you know who I am?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a child of God.
Yeah, you're going to get some very weird looks if you do that. I'll probably be one of those people looking at you weirdly. But Gideon and Saul as well. Saul, later on, in it being a king of Israel, like the main guy, completely got sidetracked with David's popularity.
Yeah.
And it became a modern version of a scandal, really, because it was almost like the paparazzi. If the paparazzi existed at the time, it would be this investigation, like, did you know Saul was really like this from the beginning? And you saw, like, the biblical narrative really starts to show the mental meltdown of Saul.
Yeah.
The scriptures that they use and the language they use is a spirit came upon Saul at certain times trying to kill David, right? Now, I'm not saying that that wasn't a spirit, but I can also see anger, vengeance. I can see jealousy in that, because David was becoming the main man because Saul royally lost the plot with God's calling on his life, did everything wrong, and it was being ripped from him, and he didn't want that.
Yeah.
But how often in the modern context do we see that, as especially in the celebrity world? So I do a lot of filmmaking and documentaries, that's my training, and there's this perpetual, I think, almost toxic, sick addiction.
May I just say, Tim is like a badass filmmaker,
the
documentary.
A bad bleep. Are you going to beep that out, producer?
Oh, snap.
Nice.
Sorry. Listen, guys. Anyway, Tim is amazing. Carry on.
Sorry. So we like right now, we're looking at the Johnny Depp trial that's going on. Right. These two heavyweights.
I literally live under a rock. I only found out about that like 2 years ago.
Okay.
Do you know who Johnny Depp is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, just checking.
Who's the other person, Koda?
Something heard. I haven't heard what you said.
His ex-wife.
It's like, even I have no interest in celebrity
That's
breakups,
so ironic,
but I'm getting feeds
through my Instagram and through my Facebook, I'm over it, like blocking the heck out of it. But the point is, we have this obsession and of looking at when famous people fail.
Mm.
Like, we want to see how badly do they fail, how deep do they go.
Mm.
And I wonder, like, looking back at Saul and David, how much of Saul's collapse from power affected the way David went through when he also...
It's the honeys, bro. It's the honeys. The moment the honeys started singing...
David slew 2,000, Saul 1,000.
That's what caused the problems.
You reckon?
Yes. Ladies, bro. They caused all the problems.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
But... No, joking. No, I'm just joking. Just really quickly, because I know our time is running out. So... question here that I think is important, because somebody might be out there. We've spoken about, man, there's so much to talk about because this is such a dense topic. Maybe we need to have a part two. But somebody is out there listening and they're like, okay, I do find myself in this place where I'm totally consumed with social media. I'm obsessed with my image, how I portray myself, all those things we've mentioned. What are some of the remedies or some of the steps that one can take to begin to remedy that? And particularly somebody who's a Christian, right? What advice can we give? What pointers can we give to somebody just to help them begin to take the correct steps to address this?
Yeah. I'm going to throw it at T-Max.
Well, I think the first step would be to recognize that you do have a problem.
Yeah, 100%.
Because if you find that you're just craving, like, if you post something and then you leave it, and then you're like, okay, I just need to quickly check if anyone liked it. Or I just need to quickly check, like, the reach of my post, or is there any engagement on it? I do understand if you're on the socials for your business and you need people to see, I mean, what you do. But I think if you see that it's just becoming something that you almost can't control, your desire to see how much am I being seen, then I think you do have a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm immune from it, because I have several social media pages, not just my personal one. And I do have to check the stats and check to see if the algorithm is going to notice me. But honestly, I find it very exhausting. And for that reason, my pages don't do particularly well.
I second that notion, Madam Judge.
I mean, I can't be bothered, you guys. It's just too much work.
That's why you pay someone to do it. I mean, sorry.
If it's your career, then go wild on the socials. But for those of you who are not being paid to be on social media, you really should not be checking it all that often to make sure that people are seeing you.
Yeah.
Because even when Jesus would do miracles, he would always turn the attention back to, I'm doing this so that the glory would go to the Father.
Yeah,
and if 100%. If you're feeling that you are now trying to feed off this quote-unquote glory that you're trying to get from these posts, then you have to really self-introspect and realize, okay, when did I turn this corner of really needing people to like me so much?
Yeah, 100%.
And that's so good. Also, another thing is if you find yourself censoring yourself, like if you... see that you do in real life hold a certain opinion, but you will never be caught dead saying it on the socials because you're scared of getting cancelled, then maybe that's also something else you should consider. Like, why do I feel the need to pipe down or not say the truth because everyone else is saying something contrary to the truth? If you find yourself, like, slowly veering away from what you know is the truth, then that's another thing you need to really look at.
No, absolutely.
I like that.
And I think, kind of going back to what you were saying about how does one get free of it, because it is an addiction, I think. And speaking as somebody that knows a lot of people with addictions, and myself, I've also struggled with addictions, I think that it's really, really crucial that the first thing is you've got to make God your first focus.
Yeah.
Full stop. And the second thing after that is, and this is drastic, but you will live, is you go cold turkey. You cut all ties. And that, if that means deleting the app off your phone, if that means that if you're in a relationship with somebody, if you're married, at night, like that's always a dangerous time to go on social media, is at night, because you just, you go down a rabbit warren.
It's like 2 a.m. It's like, oh my gosh.
No, exactly. So actually that's, you know, if your partner is somebody that is trustworthy, you give them the phone and they have every right to hold on to it, not give it back to you until the next day. You've got to, it's like removing a cancer. So when you go to the doctor and they say, we've got to cut this cancer out of your body. If the scar is big, are you going to care if the scar is big or if they got all the cancer out?
Yeah. See,
and that's the fear we have in our generation, the FOMO fear of missing out.
Yeah.
Right? We are fearful that if we, for a minute, put down social media, our 10 seconds of fame will sail past us, which is utter nonsense. Yeah. It won't. It's not even coming. Just FYI, it's not coming, guys.
Fact. Not coming.
So if somebody is going to cut cancer out of my body, I do not care. That cancer is going to eventually kill you. That's the truth of it. So this addiction to social media is going to kill things in your life that you are really passionate about and really love, and that are good and godly. In fact, it's doing that to your number one relationship with Jesus.
Imagine the irony that we're on the socials looking at other couples who are so happy, wondering why we're not happy, when all you're doing is chilling on your phone instead of talking to your partner who's right next to you and investing in the relationship, but instead you're on your phone.
Because the phone is a distraction. It's a way of disconnecting from reality and the pain. Because here's the thing, guys. Social media doesn't talk back at you when you're in the wrong.
Yeah.
And when you're doing stuff badly. But your couple does. Your other person in the bed next to you will. So, yeah, cut it out of your life and replace it with something good and wholesome. Yeah.
I like that. No, thanks for that. We have to end it now. But I think this has been such just such a great conversation about this. And I feel like we haven't even touched the surface, you know, because there's so much to talk about. But I'm going to wrap it up. I guess with my contribution to this, which is that we're living in a world where we're constantly being measured. This is it. Like, you're living in this constant state of being measured. There's always something measuring you, right? Are you pretty enough?
Yeah.
Are you good looking enough? Do you have abs? Mm. You know, are you performing well in the world? What's your latest accomplishment? Yeah. There's like this constant pressure, whether it's on LinkedIn or Facebook, just all the various platforms. Yeah. And it's important for us to realize that this is what social media is made to do. That's what it exists to do. But if we don't take the steps to recognize that, and I think another big one is that we then feel like we always have to prove our worth.
Mm.
You always have to prove your worth. And the danger with that is that you're never going to be able to prove your worth, because there's always going to be somebody who's better looking.
Goalposts are always changing.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like this shifting target. There's always going to be somebody who's got a better car than you. So you get the latest whatever car and post it. There's going to be somebody. Listen, I always say that whatever car you've got, right, just know that Frank Bianca's got a better car. Whatever. So
wow.
But the crazy thing is that these are the measuring sticks that people are now using, right? There's always going to be somebody who's got more high-end clothing than you, right? So if you use those things as measurements, you're never going to measure up.
Yeah.
But when we come back to the gospel, there is somebody who proved your worth.
Mm.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? He gave it all. He said that you are worth dying for. You're worth everything, right? So if we're forgetting that and we're turning our eyes away from the very one who proved our worth, then we are going to be having to go to lesser things to try and find our worth there. And I think that's something we need to seriously think about, especially those of us who are Christians. And those of us who may be seeking or who are considering becoming Christians, that where are you finding your sense of worth? Because one thing I can say for sure is that social media is not going to give you
absolutely
that worth. Yeah. So let's think about that. We'll talk to the producer. Maybe we'll have a part two, but we have to end it here because it's getting exciting.
Dude, you're such a
And I know Tim talks a lot, guys. Just so you know.
I learned from the best cutter. That's all I'm gonna say, brother.
So we could talk for like 3 hours, nonstop. But seriously though, thank you guys for listening. T-Mac.
I don't have anything to add. Yes, I do think we'll have to have a part two. I do think there's so much more to discuss around this topic. If you have contributions to make, please do make those on our social media pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing that we've been cutting the whole podcast, and now it's saying go to social media.
Go to our social media pages. Yeah.
And let us know your thoughts. And this is a good use of your energy. Let us know. And whatever you would like us to cover in part two. And I do think we're going to have one. So, yeah, we want your input for that. So we shall see you in a few weeks.
Yeah. And thanks, Tim.
Thank
from
you, Tim from Zen.
Pleasure, guys. Happy to be here.
Awesome.
Awesome. He's single, guys. We'll post his number. Peace.
All right. Peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.